Could you turn to Romans 12, verses 5 to 8 in your Bibles? I've got one of the new ones, and it's 1139, so it'll be around about then in whichever one you have.
Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Well, tonight we're focusing on the gift of encouragement, as mentioned in that list there. And it's an amazing gift, and it's a powerful gift. Some people have it in abundance. Just speak to the person next to you and tell them about a time when someone really encouraged you. Just have a think. One quick example from anyone? Who's encouraged you, Sophie?
Probably, I'd say, my family.
Okay, I'm just going to ask a couple of people for someone who's encouraged them just quickly. So, Sophie?
I think probably my parents have been quite a big encouragement in the past, getting me to where I am now.
Great, parents getting where they are now. Anyone over this side? This is, over here, is one of the most encouraging people I know. So, an example?
Sorry,
have you got an example of encouragement? Someone's encouraged you?
Well, I was just saying to Rosie, sometimes we just happened to have met up yesterday and she just said a small thing about my flat and I find it very encouraging.
There you go. It doesn't have to be huge. Some people have definitely got a gift of encouragement, but I think all of us can cultivate that gift. In my house, when we were growing up, the scripture that seemed to set the culture comes a little bit earlier in that chapter. It says, this is verse 3, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." My parents seemed to be quite worried that we'd be big-headed if we got praised too much and would become proud. And my recollection is that we were far more likely to experience negative comments than positive ones. And this became a pattern. But thankfully, as Christians, we don't have to be held hostage by negative habits like that. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we all have the potential to be different. Encouragement goes much further than just a warm feeling. As I said, it's really quite a powerful thing. It can actually change people's lives, can't it? Small example from my life. A few years ago, some friends from college and I were going to a football match, and we left it a bit late, and we couldn't park near the stadium, so we had to park about a mile away and then run because we were likely to miss the kickoff. And I kept up with the others who were younger than me, and when we got there, they said, "Oh, you did well." And I thought, oh, well, you know, here I am in my 40s, as I was then. I thought, I can run still. Maybe I could carry on running. And I went out and bought some proper training shoes and started running. And I carried on, and I went to do a 5K in the end, which I know it's not as long as a lot of other people have done, but it was something of an achievement for me. So all that started off from one encouraging comment. If you've ever watched a race at a school sports day with small children, you will have seen the power of encouragement. Along they go, and their parents are jumping up and down saying, "Come on, you can do it, you can do it." You don't hear anyone saying, "Don't bother, you're no good at running. Slow down, there's no point in putting yourself through this." You don't hear that, do you? And when you hear these encouraging comments, you see a little face spot mum or dad in the crowd, and they start to put a spurt on because it really makes a difference. The book of James tells us that the tongue is a powerful weapon and needs to be used properly and carefully. We can use it to build up or to destroy. And sometimes we carry around in our hearts comments that have been made carelessly or thoughtlessly by others that have stayed with us. We can't change what's been said, but we can resolve to forgive and to move on. And we can resolve to be encouragers ourselves to others. So what does Christian encouragement look like? I'm going to suggest three S's. First of all, sincere. When you hear someone in the shop say, "Have a nice day," it's better than a grumpy scowl, but it isn't awfully sincere usually. And it probably says a lot about me that my family have accused me of being sarcastic when I give them a compliment because they're not very used to it. But Paul says in the same chapter here, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling on to what is good. What we say needs to be genuine or it won't mean anything. So that's the first S, sincere. The second S is it needs to be selfless. It needs to be focused on the other person, not an excuse for us to say something nice to someone so they're saying something nice back to us. As you know, we're running the marriage course here at the moment, and the presenters of the marriage course talk about something called the five love languages. It's an American book, and they explain that everybody receives love in different ways. So for someone, they might feel they're really special if you've given them a present, a gift. But other people are not really that bothered about gifts, but they love it if you do something for them. You know, you give them a lift or you clean up at home, and that means the world to them. And some people's love language are words of affirmation. It certainly is one of mine. So, you know, this isn't just for couples, this is for everybody. And I think we need to acknowledge that we all do appreciate affirmation and encouragement from others. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we just need to make sure that it's not our motivation for being encouraging. So it needs to be sincere and it needs to be selfless, focused on the other person. Who watches the Great British Bake Off? Yeah, about 50%. The rest of you don't know what you're missing. So in the Great British Bake Off, there are members of the public cooking cakes and being judged by these two judges, Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry. And they like to be sort of, you know, good cop, bad cop. Paul Hollywood's a bit harsh sometimes. But Mary Berry, what an encourager. She'll always find something to say. If it's a bit dried up or got a bit burnt, she'll say something like, "You maybe could have done with a little bit less in the oven, but it's really tasty." Or she'll say, "Oh, you know, if it's undercooked," she'll say, "What a beautiful colour. It's just a shame you didn't, you know, whatever." And you just think, oh, that's so nice for the person. Let them down gently. The ultimate encourager, I think she is. And the best comments are specific. That's my third S. They're specific. So if someone says, "Oh, you look nice, Caroline," be much nicer, perhaps, or more. What's the word? It would be slightly more encouraging if they didn't just say something general, but they said something specific, like, "I see you've got new glasses. They look really suit you." So be specific. I haven't got new glasses, by the way. I've had these for 2.5 years. And I did add another cheeky S on the end, but this is a personal one. I think I put scripted, because actually for me, as someone who likes words of affirmation, if someone writes them down, then I can keep them and look at them later. So if you say it to me, I may really appreciate it, but I might not remember it very well later. So scripted is also, I think, a lot of people like to keep things and to remember something by. As Christians, I mean, everybody in the world can be good encouragers, but we also have the Holy Spirit in us, and so it can go to another level, I think. We're going to talk about prophecy at another Open to God meeting specifically, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you something to say to someone that you didn't really think up yourself. So you could be reminded of a verse in the Bible that you think might help that person, or you might have something to say to about a picture in your head, or a word, a phrase, or a verse comes into your head, maybe not from the Bible, but something else you've heard. And I think sometimes the Holy Spirit works in that way. So it's good to be open. And with all that in mind, and with all the wonderful things we've heard up the front, we're going to put this into practice. So first of all, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to tell you what these pieces of paper are for. So first of all, would you please stand again, because I want to pray for us. Father, thank you that you always encourage us. Thank you for your words, the words in the Bible, the words we can give to each other. But we acknowledge, Lord, that sometimes words have hurt us, and we pray for healing tonight, for any names or criticisms that have stuck with us. And we say in Jesus' name, your bonds are gone.